What's going on, guys? Welcome to Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We are on episode 32, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and you happen to purchase something that helps us out, that helps this podcast keep on going, and with me making some noise over there is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Sorry, what's up? I was actually just moving my microphone. I didn't realize okay. I was making noise. My bad.
That's okay. How's Michigan?
Freezing and windy and, yeah.
You know, it's the funniest, so, like, we complain about it, because it's pretty cold here, too. We complain about the cold, but then in, like, a month, then there's, like, snow.
Oh, I know.
And, like, it's, like, death outside will be even, it's going to be even worse.
Like, do you remember in the spring when it, like, finally hit, like, 50 degrees and it's, like, t-shirt, shorts, weather, let's go.
Yeah.
And now it hits those temperatures and you're, like, oh, sweatshirt, snow pants.
Yeah, because, like, you know the worst is coming and it's just, yeah. Like, ugh.
It really, if you don't live in a region that gets cold, it just, it blows.
Yeah, and it's, like, I don't know about you, but here the sun doesn't really come out as much.
Yeah.
And
it kind of just starts to get depressing.
Yeah, it's like gloomy. But it's kind of cool because then at this time of the year, it is the busy season for us. And,
yeah.
You know, it just, it's much, because like when in the summertime when you're working, you like want to get stuff done so you can go out and like go do things.
Yeah.
You know, now when it's like gloomy, you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to get all this work done and I'll play some video games. I'll do all like, it's kind of like inside weather. So like,
yeah,
for our workflow, it works pretty well, I think. But at the same time, I'd rather it be warm all the time, obviously.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it is nice that you're going to be a little more of a techie, a gamer.
Yeah, we'll talk about, we're going to be doing a lot of cool gaming stuff in the next couple weeks, actually. Like, yeah. next week.
Yeah. A little Star Wars action.
Yes, so we'll talk about that. But let's jump in to our reviews this week. And we had two launch reviews. So two products were launched this week that if you listened to last week's podcast, I couldn't tell you what they were. But now I can because obviously they came out this week. So the first one comes from Corsair and it is their RM750X 750 watt power supply. And Corsair launched their RMX series, which is basically more or less the replacement to their RM series that had been out already. We took a look at the 750 watt. It's available in 550, 650, 750, 850, and 1000 watt versions. All these power supplies are 80 plus gold certified. They are all fully modular, which is, you know, kind of this. It's not often you don't find fully modular power supplies anymore.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, actually. Yeah,
fully modular. 100% Japanese components, 135 millimeter cooling fan, and that cooling fan has a zero RPM mode. So if the power supply doesn't go over 40% load, the fan won't even turn on, which is nice.
I like that it's a load thing. It doesn't wait for the temperature to rise. It just kicks on when the load builds.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. All of that. This is not compatible with Corsair Link, so that's the kind of the thing that you miss with this. But a lot of people don't even care about that, and that's the reason for this power supply coming out, is just for people who want a reliable power supply, great components, very quiet, and that does the job. And it has a 7-year warranty, which is pretty high.
That's extremely long.
So, you know, those builders, so people who are just building their PC and it's the PC they're going to have for a year, you know, for a while. Not people who are constantly upgrading and want the best thing. They want something that's reliable and they can, you know, put in their system and will work. And this is definitely the power supply for that. Just great overall power supply. I didn't really find much I didn't like about it.
Price wise, this was
$129 for the 750.
That's not bad. Middle of the road.
Yeah, kind of middle of the road. Again, Corsair is usually a little bit higher than other units, but they kind of do, you know, they've kind of established themselves as that brand.
They're kind of like the go-to power supply brand.
Yeah, so, and it's, like I said, it's a great power supply. You know, just everything about it, even just getting it, opening it up. You know, the power supply comes in one of those nice Corsair bags that you can, you can keep. I keep them, and I put, like, you know, anytime I go to, like, a LAN party or something, I put, like, my mouse in there. I put, like, other stuff in there. And, like, you know.
I got a couple of them. I just throw, like, components.
Yeah.
All the extra screws and stuff so I don't lose stuff.
Yeah, and then they have, like, the cables are the what's really interesting about this one is that the cables are a mix. So, like, most of the cables, like, the SATA cables and stuff, SATA, yeah. Molex, and all that, they're the flat cable design.
But yeah, then, like a ribbon.
Yeah, but like a, yeah, like a ribbon cable. And then the PCI Express CPU power and 24-pin ATX are sleeved, which is kind of cool, which I actually like, because I think the flat cable design on those kind of, I don't know, I just, they're just...
Is it easier to hide? Do you think? I kind of think that.
They're easier they're like, to bend around and stuff, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and those are the ones that go, like, in the tiny little spots in your case.
So. Yeah, so I kind of like that as well. But yeah, just a good power supply series. You know, again, if you're looking for kind of like a no-frills type power supply that's reliable, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't really think about as much when it comes to power supplies, is that, like, oh, I want something flashy, I want it to have this, this, and this, but the biggest thing is reliability. Your power supply dies in your system, it's you have to get a new one. It's not like something that, you know, breaks, oh, I can live without, you know, this hard drive, yeah, or I can live without whatever. It's, no, you need that, you know, so...
It just needs to work.
Yeah, so reliable, very quiet, you know.
And it's got zero RPM.
Zero RPM fan, modular cables, so you only use the cables that you need. It's great for a builder, it's first-time builder, too. This is a great power supply for a first-time builder. All of the modular cables as well as the connections are labeled. So, again, if you are a first-time builder, you're not sure where to connect things, it's all in the power supply itself. Definitely one I would recommend for any first-time builder. Just nice. A great power supply.
Awesome.
And like I said, fairly inexpensive, again, for that seven-year warranty. I mean, if you think about it, it might be a little bit more expensive than other power supplies, but, you know, it's just like an investment. It's something that's going to last you 7 years at least, if not longer. And if it doesn't, you're getting a brand-new one, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's 80 plus, so 80 it's not like gold. The best, but that's still pretty efficient.
Yeah, it's you know, 80 plus gold certified, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a great power supply.
Cool.
And then we'll move on to their second review, our second launch review this week, and that was the Thermaltake Core P5 chassis. And the reason I don't call it a case because it really isn't one. So Thermaltake came out with a very interesting design here. We've actually seen some of these, custom made, and it's more or less, a design that can be mounted to the wall where you actually display your hardware. Yeah. And, it's great to see a company come out with this because this is something you typically don't see.
No. This is like you said, it's usually a one-off type of thing.
Yeah, it's usually a one-off, or maybe companies will have a certain run of these. We saw Lee and Lee do it, but those were extremely expensive. I think the one that would be this size, the Lee and Lee one, was like $600 or $500.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
And that just puts it out of the reach for most people. And I think what's great that Thermaltake did with this is that they kept the price down too. So this is $150. And that makes it available to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you compare it to the Lee and Lee one, it doesn't have the actual glass. It's an acrylic panel. The case itself is not made out of that nice aluminum. It's made out of steel. But at the same time, this gets it in the hands of more people. And for first-time builders, this is a fun case to build. It's kind of like you design your own case. Or you design your own build, more or less. And it's something that I think a lot of people will do as a little project that, you know, they can learn and all that kind of stuff. And I think that the price point is great for that. Because no first-time builder is going to spend, like, $500, $600 on a case. It's just not going to happen.
No. But $150 is right in the zone.
Yeah, so...
It's real nice.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, and I would definitely go check out the review to get a good idea of what the case is like. It's sort of like... I don't know how I would explain this.
Yeah. It's like a wall panel, right?
Yeah, it's basically
if you don't like a picture frame.
Yeah.
Like a piece of art. And then but instead of, you know, like a painting of whatever crap, it's got PC components painted into it. But then it's actual PC components.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So you can put it on they give you feet so you can just have it stand up.
See, I think that's really cool to just have that on your desk stood up like that.
Yeah, well there's three different configurations. So you can have it that way. It has mounting points on the back so you can wall mount it. And then it has rubber feet so you can actually set it up like a table. So you can have it sitting...
It's like the acrylic on top?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so you can have it three different ways. And it's a great case. It's supports, you know, long graphics cards, large CPU coolers, full-size power supplies, a bunch of different hard drives, all that
What's
kind of stuff.
What's the maximum radiator size? Because that slot is pretty long on the side.
I believe
there.
It's a 480.
That's pretty. You could cool a whole system on a 480.
Yeah, so it fits very large radiators. It does not fit most AIOs, which we did test. And you know,
why is that?
I guess the Thermaltake's reason is because this is supposed to be a builder's case or a DIY case, you know, and they think that most people do water cooling. I think it's kind of hard. If you look at the spacing and everything on this case, too, I think it is pretty hard to really fit that in the way, you know, they want it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where, even if you moved it closer, then you would get in the way of, say, a graphics card or things like that. You know,
maybe just a spacing issue.
We did see somebody fit an H80i on here, but they had it. The orientation was a little different.
Okay.
I think that we talked about this before we got on before we started recording. Is that the instructions for this case were kind of bad? I think if you've built any type of computer, you can easily put it together.
Right.
You know, I put it together. Not that, you know, it wasn't that hard. It was just like, there are certain things, or there are certain places where you can mount certain hardware that they don't really tell you about. And just like with the AIOs, I assume there are some that do work with this. It's just that it's kind
of
hard.
Matter of which ones. It's the tubing length, right?
That's the problem. The tubing length is the big problem. And the thing is that it'd be kind of nice to know. So maybe, you know, as a builder, I go to install my AIO and then I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I just installed this and now
that
it doesn't fit.
Absolutely piss me off.
Or, like, you know, we mounted a hard drive, so there's only really room for one hard drive mounting spot on the front of the case. You can fit three more in the on the inside of the case, but I wanted them both to be displayed because this is a case where you want to display your hardware, and I was able to install one on the front part of the case, but that's nowhere in the instructions at all.
That's actually where you're supposed to install.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we went back and forth with Thermaltake, and they said, you know, this is a builder's case. There's so many options, and I would just have liked, and maybe they will eventually put out, say, like a builder's guide, saying like, this is every possible spot where you can mount an SSD. This is every possible spot where you can, mount whatever. This is every possible AIO that works with this. This is how, you know, you should run your cables. This is how you should do this. You know, that would be a lot better, especially for, you know, this could be a case for first-time builders just for the fact that it's cool and they're like, oh my god, I want this. I want my system to look like this. And I think a lot of first-time builders do that. A lot of first-time builders see a case and like, this is what I want. This is what I want to build. I think my first build, there was an Antec case. I forget which one it was. That I saw, and I was like, I want that case. I want that system. And that's what I did for my first build, is I got that case. And, you know, it's just like, this could be that. And it's just like, for first-time builders, or for any builder, really, it would just be nice to know what is possible.
Yeah, because you just hate to get going. You get part of it installed, and then you find out that you had to install this first, because now this won't fit through some spot, you know. So, stuff like that.
It's just... Yeah, you kind of just have to kind of go through, and it's kind of like guess and check. And I think that if there was a builder's guide, you could be like, okay, here's a section for hard drives. Here's where I can mount everything. Here's the section for, you know, graphics cards. Here's the lengths and everything. Here's a section for water cooling or AIO. Here's the lengths I need, you know, especially if you're doing a custom water cooling loop, it will tell you the lengths that you need for your tubing and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's just... That's the only issue I really had with this case. Besides that, it is an awesome design. It's more radical design, something we don't typically see from anybody.
I think at that price point, what you're getting, like you said, it's the first time builder possibility thing. Like, anybody can get this case, because $150 is just, that's not expensive at all for a case.
Yeah,
it can easily be built into your budget, and like, this gives you. Well, really, like kind of an astonishing case for that price.
Yeah, and it allows you to display your hardware as sort of like a piece of art.
Yeah, because we love you love the side panel window. You know, everybody loves looking in. Well, this is the whole case.
Yeah, this is the everything. Entire thing. It is a great case. I like I said, I can't say much bad about it. I just would have loved to have seen better better instructions. And I mean, while I complain about not having AIO support, that's something that I feel that with the design of this case would have been very hard. Although we did see a custom build that has a bracket that allows you to kind of angle an AIO in there.
Put it closer.
Yeah, so maybe in the future, you know, if this case catches on, you could see Thermaltake coming out with maybe some certain accessories and things like that.
I could see mod shops making brackets. Dude, that's like such a simple piece to build.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that the biggest thing with this is it did just come out. Thermaltake Camp could release a builder's guide. I know they just released a video showing you how to build as well.
Nice.
So, you know, we could see accessories come out. I think they're just kind of seeing how popular this is first, because it's kind of pointless to do a mass run of accessories and then nobody buys them.
Yeah, if nobody buys the case, yeah.
Yeah, so it is a great case. Definitely check out the review to see what we're talking about. I know it's kind of hard to explain over audio for sure.
You know what would be really cool is if instead of the feet, you put, like, table legs and made this as your coffee table.
Yeah, you could do that. I assume you could install something on the bottom, you know what I mean, that could do that. Like you could, because the mounts, I think they're VESA compatible mounts.
Oh, really?
On the back. Yeah, so you could, you know,
do something with that.
Yeah, so it is really cool. Again, not extremely hard to build, just bad instructions. That's the only thing. So
which we see from time to time.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't really touch on instructions that much because most of the cases that we do review are the typical tower, and you kind of know where everything goes. It's not often you get a case where you're like, okay, how does this go? With this case, it's completely different, so you have to read the instructions. If I didn't, I would have kind of been lost, really.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the thing that we kind of, you know, harp on. But there's a lot of cases that have really bad instructions. Because all these cases are made overseas, and the instructions are also usually put together overseas. So when you have a case like this, the instructions usually are bad. I think things
get lost in translation sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of the cases are just bad instructions, but we don't really notice that because we know how to put together a computer. And a lot of times, I don't even look at instructions for the most part. But this one, I definitely had to. So. But yeah, not all that hard. I thought it'd be a lot harder to build, and it actually wasn't. It didn't take me all that long. So,
sweet.
Definitely a cool case, and definitely one if you want to do a really cool build that's going to stand out. This would be definitely the case to do it in.
Yeah, for sure. You take this to a LAN, it's going to get looked at.
Yes, for sure. Like I have it sitting here, and every time I look back, I'm like, oh, this looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so definitely a cool case for sure. So, it is the end of the month. And
it sure is.
What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. Worst PCs?
Yes. The worst PCs. So, every month at the end of the month, we do a 20 of the worst PC setups where we go out and we find people who just have horrible PC setups as far as messy desks, or they have to, you know, they moved home for the summer, or they moved home for some reason, and they have to, like, use a dresser or something along those
suddenly
lines.
They find they're living in a closet.
Yeah.
Or so, a bathroom, it looks like.
Yeah, so we cataloged 20 of these, and some of them are really horrible. The one that I found quite interesting is these two guys playing, I think, maybe they're playing League of Legends, I forget, on their laptops on top of a washer and dryer. This may be at a college. This may be at their house. I'm not really sure. But they're
definitely in the wash closet, though.
Their comment, or it's Dota 2. Their comment is, "This is where we play Dota 2." You know, it's kind of cool to see all this stuff because it's just like for the like a lot of it's for like the love of the game. They don't really care where they are. Yeah. They're just playing their game or
they'd
whatever.
Be so uncomfortable though.
Yeah, because you couldn't really put your feet anywhere. They'd be like,
"No,
yeah.
Your knees are just into it the whole time."
Yeah, so. A lot of these are really crazy. Some of them, are really bad, and you feel bad for a lot of these people. They're just, yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel bad, because I think these are just people living in filth that they just
some of
don't
them,
try.
Some of them are
screwed, though.
Some of them, like, you know, they have to move home, and their parents turn their room into something, so they have to live in some other room, and they don't have a desk, or people are moving, and they don't have a desk or nowhere to set up their PC, but they obviously want something to do, so they have to set up their PC and it's on the floor or whatever it may be.
Those are the ones I feel bad for.
If you want to feel good about your PC setup, definitely take a look at this article. And we do it once a month, so we have, you know, a ton of these. We've been doing this for a while, too.
Yeah. So, or maybe you look at this and you say, hey, mine looks just like this. And then send us a picture of it.
Yeah, so you can definitely send us a picture. Send it to our Facebook or just post it on our Facebook, and we'll definitely get it up there. Yeah, it's just it's a fun article to do each month, and it's definitely shows how people live with their PCs and how bad it can actually be.
Tip if you're going to do that, though, maybe remove all paraphernalia from it, I'm noticing.
Yeah, a lot of people...
occasionally we see some.
Yeah.
I don't know. Depends on where you live, I guess.
Yeah, it's legal in some states. So.
That's true.
But we'll move on from there, and we'll go to another article we do, and we do this article weekly. It's Case Mod Friday. It's every Friday. We feature a case mod or a case build that's been done in the community that we go out and find, or a lot of times we get them submitted as well. And this week we have a really interesting case because it's not a mod, really. It is a
build. No, not at all.
It's a build, and it's an interesting build in that it's done by EK, actually. It's done by their main product manager. And the build is called Alaskan Arctic, and a custom build or custom system designer went to EK and said, "We want you to design us a system that we can sell." And this is what they came up with, and this is a pretty badass system.
Yeah.
So it's done in the Inwin 904, I believe. Inwin 909. Which is the largest one of that design, which has the glass panel on the side. A really interesting design. And they loaded it up, obviously being from EK, they loaded it up with water cooling. And this is how the system will come, which is pretty awesome. So it is a full custom loop and all of that. The really only mods to this would have to be the sleeved cables on the power supply, and that's it. And I don't even know. I mean, obviously you can buy those or you can get them made. Yeah, that is basically it. But just the amount of water cooling in here, obviously the colors match up quite well inside. Yeah. It is Arctic design, so they're using a white motherboard, which is the MSI Z170A.
Titanium.
The titanium, which is awesome looking board.
Yeah, I think this is the first Z170 build we've featured.
Possible. Maybe. Sure. Yeah, but it's the first time I've seen this motherboard in a build.
Anywhere. I haven't seen it anywhere, actually.
Yeah, so it's great to see that. One other cool thing that I haven't seen pretty much anybody use, and this is the first time I've seen them being used, is that the EK, what is it? I'm looking at the EK terminal, the clear one. So if the EK terminal connects graphics cards, and this is the clear one, so you can actually see the coolant running through.
Yeah, because they came out with this in the acrylic, the frosted version.
Yeah, so this is the clear plexi one, and I love it because it just looks there's tubes there, and you can see all the coolant, and it's awesome.
They got a couple of R9 Fury X's in here too. That's something we haven't seen either.
Yeah, not a lot of time. Yeah, you don't see that a lot either.
It's a unique hardware build, and then just chock full of water cooling.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is from EK, so they know exactly what they're doing. This is another build that it does use the soft tubing, but it does. I guess it uses component, or is it all soft tubing?
No, it's all soft tubing. It's just really, really good tubing. I don't know what brand they're using, but it's just some really, really clear tubing, and then they load it up on the die, so it just pops really well.
Yeah, it just looks really great. Again, what's great about this, and it's what's great about a lot of these that we show, is a lot of them aren't necessarily mods. This isn't something that's crazy modded, right? This is something that you can build yourself. This is all EK parts, and as far as the sleeving goes on the power supply, you can get those custom made through a bunch of different places, or you can just order them too. You don't have to do that yourself, so if you're looking to build something like this, it is completely possible. And I think that's what's great about how we feature a lot of these, is a lot of them aren't crazy took the case completely apart, completely changed it, you know.
Yeah, needed, this is nothing more than putting the case together.
Yeah, needed a Dremel, needed to do all this kind of stuff. This is, here are some awesome components, here's a bunch of water cooling, we installed it in a case, and it's done really well. And I think that, you know, if you are thinking about doing a water cooling or anything like that, this shows you that you can do it beautifully with, you know, not a whole lot of... I don't think this would be that hard for somebody to do.
No. It's not a lot. You don't want to say untalented, but that kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is just putting parts together very well done and very well thought out, and I think anybody can do that.
Yep.
You know, but it is beautiful. I just love the colors. They pick great colors. Everything goes together very well in this, and
there's the one shot of, like, that shows the red from the motherboard on the left-hand side. It's a really good, it's a really cool contrast.
Yeah, so it's just a great build, and apparently you'll be able to buy this soon, this entire setup.
Do you know who was selling that?
I'll tell you in a second. It is AION. By Altex. I've never heard of them. But I guess they're a custom system builder.
Gotcha.
And that's how this whole thing came together. Was, I guess, they were contacted by them to make a custom system that they could sell, and this is what they came up with.
Gotcha. I, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe this builder. Yeah, he's from Ocean. Yep.
Yeah.
He's been there for years.
Yeah. So very, very cool.
Cool to see. I didn't know he was a hardware rep for EK, but that's cool to see.
Yeah. So, I really like this. And if you don't want to build your own system, you can buy this.
Yeah.
You're soon be able to. So definitely check out the OCN link that we have on the. We have a link to the build log. You can see how it came together. You can also they'll probably update where and when you'll be able to buy this as well if you're looking to buy it.
Yeah, for sure.
So definitely check that out. And every week we do feature case mods, so definitely check back. And if you want to look through our whole thing of case mods, we have a section under our articles tab called Case Mod Friday, and you can look through all of them. There's a ton in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So definitely,
it's a lot of inspiration in there.
Yeah, a ton. So definitely check that out. So we're going to move on to news, and not a whole lot of news this week, but we have some cool stuff.
I thought there was some cool news. The very first one I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, so the big news, or the big mystery, or rumor, is that NVIDIA is working on a new dual GPU GeForce GTX graphics card. It will be much like the Titan Z. And this one, of course, will be based off two GM200 class GPUs. These are the same GPUs that are used in the Titan X and GTX 980 Ti.
Nice.
So this will be the most powerful GeForce GTX card.
Yeah. Single card solution.
Yeah, single card solution out there. Dual GPU. Apparently, according to this leak, is that they already had a meeting about it where it was shown to the press for the first time.
Gotcha.
You know, and that was last week.
It's not a public release, yeah.
Not a public release. Apparently, the review samples have been sent out according to this leak as well, which means we could see reviews, you know, next week.
That means launch should be imminent.
Yeah, but this is, again, this is only a leak. This is only,
But there is an official, thing going. There is something. We just don't know exactly.
Yeah, and we do know that AMD will be releasing their dual GPU solution by the end of the year. So it makes sense that NVIDIA will be doing this as well. And if NVIDIA beats them to release, which they will, according to this leak, that could be bad things for AMD, and things are not going well for AMD at all right now.
Yeah.
This could be very bad for them. It's awesome to see dual GPU solutions.
I wasn't a fan at first, but if you ever get one, it's – just so simple, and they're so powerful.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about these. And NVIDIA has done it well, they've done the dual GPU thing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see. I would say the source on this is pretty reliable, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe next week, maybe week after, maybe end of this month at latest. You could see something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll at least see like an official announcement, I would think, within the next couple of weeks.
So, and again, according to the leak, the review samples have already been out, have already been put out in circulation last week, which means that the card's ready. It's being tested right now.
It's a finished version. Yeah.
And they're not engineering samples that are being sent out to be tested. These are review samples, which are the full product.
Right.
Very interesting to see.
Maybe a new, maybe a Christmas present or something coming up here.
Oh, you're going to give me one. You're such a nice guy.
This guy. Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Anything for you, man.
Yeah. So, so as soon as we know anything on this, obviously it will be up on the site and you guys will be the first ones to know. Be pretty excited. Usually, again, this time of year, getting into holiday, we see a lot of cool releases, a lot of cool products come out. You know, so we'll obviously be covering all of that. So definitely stay tuned and we'll let you know as soon as we know.
Nice.
So talking about graphics cards, MSI released their GeForce GTX 980 Ti Gaming Gold Edition, which we've seen before.
So gold in name only, I suppose.
It's not made of gold.
Well, and it's really that's got to be an orange, or my eyes are just failing me.
Yeah, it is more or less an orange. so the Golden Game Edition is it's where they, instead of doing an all aluminum heatsink, it's all copper. And I've actually saw one of these in person, and they are pretty heavy, which is kind of cool. And it's just like, you know. The card looks awesome.
That copper is just kind of a work of art.
Yeah, you know, and it just looks really great. Obviously, better performance. This one's clocked higher than their gaming card. It's just a great card. Not sure when it's going to be released or the price. It should have a little price increase over their gaming versions of the card. But it's just great to see this, and this is one of my favorite cards. It goes really well together. The colors go really well. Obviously, you get the better cooling, and it's a special edition, so there's not going to be a whole ton of these being made.
This is a non-standard PCB, right? So you get a little more there usually. It's more VRMs or something.
Yeah, so it's non-standard PCB, and that's their gaming card is the same way as well.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So it's the same. It'll probably be the same PCB setup. Just it's a different cooled build, essentially, right?
Yeah, and it's clocked higher.
Right.
It just looks great. The orange and the black go very well together. If you think about it, this could be matched up almost perfectly with, say, Gigabyte's OC Edition motherboard.
Yeah, although MSI probably would like you to buy one of theirs.
Yes, but it's like
just thinking.
It just looks cool, and we have a shot on there of the underside of the card or underside of the cooling solution, and it just looks awesome. Definitely something that you should take a look at because it is a great looking card. Again, going to be limited edition. Not sure how many are going to be out there. This should be a decent amount. It's not going to be like 10.
but it's not gonna be that
so
it's not that super. I don't know, it's gonna be it's a cool card, but it's not like the really the lightning, you know. It's not the super high end for them, so
definitely check out that card. I would love to have one, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to send a Think Computers one, feel free, MSI.
Yes, for sure. So we'll move on from that, and we'll talk about a company called Box, B-O-X-X, and they make very high-end workstations. So if you're not sure what a workstation is, workstation is mainly used for graphic design, video editing, all of that kind of stuff, CAD, 3D modeling, all that kind of stuff. And the biggest problem with these systems is that they're huge. They're big. You know,
because they have an insane amount of hardware usually.
Yeah, a lot of hardware, things like that. Well, this company called Box came out with a new version. They make a bunch of different workstations, but they have a new workstation called the Apex One. And it is the world's smallest overclocked workstation. Very, very small. So it's only 4.7 inches wide, 8.5 inches high, and 9 inches deep, which is not that large at all for the power that's inside. Inside, you have either a i7-based processor or you have a Xeon-based processor. Both are overclocked. The i7 setup comes with 32 gigabytes of memory. The Xeon comes with 64. And then you can choose between NVIDIA Quadro or AMD Fire Pro graphics cards. Just a small little machine that can be used to do a lot of powerful stuff.
Yeah.
The cooling solution is actually quite interesting as well. It's a combination of an AIO with a blower fan.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. It should keep things nice and cool. And that's the biggest thing with such a compact system and overclock system too. Both the Xeon and the i7 processors are overclocked, and you know, keeping that cool in such a small space is a hard thing to do a lot of the times. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool cooling design. They have a flow chart or flow diagram.
Yeah, that shows how everything works and all of that. So yeah, what I thought this would be perfect for is, you know, bands that are on the road and they're doing a lot of video type stuff and they need video editing, or you know, they're going to different shows and this is what is displaying their video.
Yeah, and they need actual some serious power.
Yeah, and this is something that they can take with them. I know a lot of, you know, DJs and bands have these, but they're huge. They're a lot larger, and they need something that's smaller, and I think this is the perfect solution for that. It's extremely small, extremely compact, no maintenance because it's an AIO. You don't have to worry about that. Only thing you'd be, like, you know, dusting it, like cleaning out the dust and stuff. Has room for two SSDs. You can also install an M.2 in there. You're very, very fast. It has 4 mini DisplayPort connections, so you could connect up to 4 4K monitors to this thing.
Yeah.
USB 3.1, USB 3.0, dual Ethernet, everything. But these are not cheap. anywhere from, you know, $2,500 to $5,000, depending on the configuration that you want.
But that's almost purely hardware. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing cheap about a workstation.
Yeah.
I mean, the Quadro cards are the most expensive NVIDIA cards, and obviously Xeon and the high-end i7s are the more expensive Intel chips, so.
Yeah, and, you know, the memory as well, DDR4 is not cheap.
Yeah, so. 64 gigs of DDR4 is not free, that's for sure.
Yeah. So yeah,
did you notice the power supply is like kind of dismantled and built into the bottom of it? That's pretty cool.
I didn't really notice that that's what that was, but apparently that's what is what that is.
And it's got to be because there's no space for one and those are caps.
That is very cool. I actually didn't notice that at all. That's totally what that is.
And you know what the cooling design makes me think of? It's like so small. It practically acts like a graphics card cooler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole thing is small enough that it just pulls the air straight through it and shoots it out the back.
Totally.
That's pretty cool. These guys did a cool thing here with something that.
And actually, the power supply is that might be part of it, but I think the rest of it is outside the case.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Probably, most likely. But still,
you have to be right. There's no way they fit a full.
Yeah, but still, that's just still very impressive the amount of, you know, the way they were able to do this, I think, is great. And I think that, again, for the use case that I said, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other use cases for this that would be great, I think it's just good to see them come out with this, you know?
Yeah, shrink it down. We don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, so great to see. We do have a link to the page, to their page, so you can kind of see all about it, and you can configure one and see how much it costs, because they're not cheap at all.
Yeah. No, if you're a gamer, this is not for you. Just an FYI.
Yes.
This is a bit above and beyond what you need. And actually, Quadros aren't typically as good at gaming as gaming
oriented. Of course, cards. They're not really made for
that. Right. Just pointing that out.
Yes. But yeah, so this is a great small system, and something that if you are in the market for something like that, definitely something to take a look at.
Yeah.
So Logitech had a new release this week. We've seen a couple new products come from their G line, which is their gaming line, and this one is a new 10 keyless. Which, if you're not sure what 10 keyless is, it is pretty much a keyboard without the number pad or anything. It's made to be small and compact. And 10 keyless is extremely popular in esports. A lot of esports players use 10 keyless because it's small, it's compact. They don't need all the extra keys and all the extra space that's taken up by those extra keys.
You're literally not using those other things anyways. So.
Yeah, so this is the G410 Atlas Spectrum. And the Atlas Spectrum is their new series of gaming products. We actually have one of the Atlas Spectrum headsets in right now.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a very cool 10 keyless keyboard, fully backlit. I forget the key type. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, it's RGB backlighting, so you can make the keys whatever you want. I'm trying to find out the type of keys.
Type of switches?
Yeah, type of switches.
Oh, it's this Roamer G switches. I wonder...
Yeah, those are probably...
Oh, they're exclusive, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder who built them for them, though.
Yeah. Exclusive switches.
I guess they could have made them themselves.
Yeah,
they're big enough.
Yeah. So these are the, Roamer G switches.
The only real question is, how do they feel?
Yeah, they said that
nice to see. I have a comparison.
These switches register key presses up to 25% faster than competing mechanical switches. So I believe that they have to be mechanical.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I mean, because to mechanical, you know, it's almost all the same, you know.
Yeah.
But the feel of the switch is incredibly important to mechanical keyboard users. So.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how... I would guess
blues. Do you think blues?
Yeah, probably. I would blues or reds. Yeah, but I would love to test this. I like the 10 keyless design, especially for gaming. It's not often you're using your number pad for anything, and it's just good to get it out of the way.
I like that it doesn't really look like a Logitech keyboard, to be honest.
Yes,
it looks nice, new, fresh, exciting.
Yeah, this new what's it called? Atlas Spectrum line has a lot of cool stuff in it, and I really think that Logitech took a step back and really talked about the gamers and see what they wanted, and I think they really realized that this is such a big market that they really need to make products specifically for gamers and specifically for this type of gamer, for the esports gamer, you know, for people who are really serious about gaming. I think that they really needed to do that, and this new line, Atlas Spectrum line, is something that you'll see a lot of good products come out of it. I think
that's awesome.
Yeah, so this is it's $129.99, which is around a normal price for a mechanical keyboard in the 10 keyless design.
Yeah, so, anything mechanical is going to be $100 or more usually.
Yeah, and again, these are made to be beaten on. 10 keyless design is made for serious key presses usually.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I would love to get one. I'm going to probably email them and see if we can get one into review.
For sure.
Because I would love to check this out. Just looks great. And it's good to see kind of, again, Logitech really get back to pure gaming and esports and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we don't want these mix and mash between your office guy and your gaming guy products anymore.
Yes,
just specialize. That would be great. Thank you.
Yes, so definitely worth checking out, and we're gonna try to get one in so we can do the review for you guys.
Nice.
So we'll move on to Apple.
Let me just skip this. I mean, who wants to know?
So the 6S and 6S Plus were released this week, or over the past weekend. They actually officially came out.
Gotcha.
And Apple sold 13 million phones in 3 days.
Dude, I think that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
So if you compare that to when the 6 and 6 Plus came out, they sold around 10 million.
A year ago.
A year ago.
So people still have perfectly fine sixes.
It's the thing. It's that,
and then they still managed to sell 13 million 6Ss. Oh, it's people, a cult, man.
There's people like me. Like, I have a 5S, and I'm going to be getting the 6S. I just haven't got it yet. You know what I mean? Like, but I will be getting one. I mean, that's my upgrade cycle, is every 2 years for me, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me. But a lot of people, they just want the newest thing. They get the yearly upgrade cycle. They get the phone. They've made a lot of improvements. We talked about, two podcasts ago, I think we talked about it. They made a lot of upgrades. They released a new color, which people are pumped about. You know, it's just, they have that following, and when they release a new product, people buy it. People buy it like crazy.
They could sell you a spray-painted brick, man, with an Apple on the back, and it would sell like crazy.
Imagine when they release that car, when they release the Apple
car. Oh, my gosh.
You know?
It's going to be stupid.
I mean, look at the watch. I feel the Apple Watch is pointless.
Absolutely pointless.
Actually, the use case that they used for the doctor in the hospital was pretty cool, I have to say. But for most people...
That's not going to sell you 13 million or something.
Yeah, the Apple Watch is kind of, I don't know. For me, wearable technology like that is not a big thing. But has been selling like crazy too. And that's a very expensive device. It's not cheap.
It's just like, I think, honestly, it's just like jewelry.
Yeah.
More than a useful device. It's just people, it's just a cool brand. You know, it's the popular brand. You got to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, we even saw that. And
kudos to them for getting there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we even saw it when the first iPhone came out. Like,
I remember,
like, when you had an iPhone, the first one that came out, and, like, you were out with people, you just, like, set it on the table and be like,
this is my iPhone.
Yeah, my iPhone. You know, I got one of those. You know, like, that's...
You don't got one of those?
Yeah. And I think that was the cool thing, and I think now it's still everybody... I mean, even now, like, so, you know, with an iPhone, you have iMessage, and you meet somebody, and then they give you your number or whatever, and they message you, and it's not an iMessage. You're like, wait, you don't have an iPhone? What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? It's just like... It's like, it's sort of like you're in that...
All a bunch of elitists.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're in that, like, that elite group. And it's not that. I mean, like,
they're really not better devices, is the truth.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they're not bad devices, I wouldn't say. I think that nowadays that Apple, you know, the things that they come out with have already been out a lot of times.
Yeah,
one, a lot of their customers don't really know, and they word it differently. So that they make it sound like it's something crazy. I mean, if you look at those videos, I love the parody Apple videos because they're so funny because they're like, this is this and blah, blah, blah. And it's just
this has absolutely been out for like 2 years.
Yeah.
You just haven't had it.
At the same time, it's not a bad device.
No.
You know.
They're good phones. They're just like every other top tier phone is on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a top tier phone.
With an absolutely locked in market.
Once you're in the Apple ecosystem, it's very hard to get out. I don't see myself not having an iPhone.
Yeah.
Just because the pain and agony of learning a new phone, I mean, even my sister has the Samsung Galaxy S6, I think she has. And she's not even a tech person, and that's a pretty good phone, right? I assume.
I was like,
how do you do this on this phone? Like, I don't even know how to use it.
And
like, I'm a tech person, and like, you know what I mean? It's like when you have something it's totally foreign to you when you first start using it.
Yeah. So
like even Jack with his he has an iPhone now, but he had that Windows phone, and like I was like playing with it. I was like, how do you do this? You know?
It's just a different menu system, you know? They're all different.
And you're locked into it
seems difficult. Yeah.
You know, with iPhone, you're just locked into iTunes. That has all your stuff. It's where you do your backups. It's how you do everything. It's just like
I agree. It's kind of like Chrome. Like Chrome is not the best browser, but dude, I can't use anything else. It's got all my stuff saved in it.
Yeah, same here. And it's just like I would love to see the number of people who are locked into a Android, iOS, and Windows Phone. The percentages of people that actually move from those, right?
Because they actually trade to one or the other.
Yeah, because once you're locked in, it's pretty hard to be like, okay, I'm going to get something
different. They pretty much got you.
Yeah, so
I think that the easiest to move to, though, it seems to be an iPhone. It has to be the easiest to learn. Like, that is Apple's thing, is it's the most user-friendly
place. The reason for that is because of the Apple stores, and that you can go in there, and their customer service is amazing. I listened to this other podcast. It has anything to do with tech, but they made this, they talk about customer service, and, you know, the thing that the guy who was talking about was, like, he needed a new computer. He was a PC guy, and he went in there just to talk to the guy, and the guy sold him on a thing and helped him out and, like, spent 2 hours with him showing him how to use a Mac.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not something you get. You go to Best Buy and you buy any computer. They're like, okay, it's $1,500, and then you can, you know, you can fuck off. Like,
yeah,
basically.
More than anything, they'll just harass you.
Yeah, so...
about not buying what they want you to buy.
You know, with Apple, it's really cool. And I was in there the other day with somebody. They were getting their phone fixed. And, you know, I'm just sitting there. I was playing on the computer. And, one, they don't bother you. Two, they were, like, some kid came in with an Android. And he was getting an iPhone. And they were showing him on a PC, on Android... how to take his contacts out of the Android and how to put them on. And they gave him an app on his iPhone for free. I don't even know if it's one you have to pay for, to help him, you know,
to transfer everything over.
That's not an extra cost. They just do it for you. And I think that's one reason why a lot of people go there, because you can go to the store, you can play with the device for as long as you want to get, you know, to see if you really want it. When, you know, you go to any of the AT&T store or T-Mobile, and you're just getting harassed by somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sit there for an hour and play with a phone. And the phones that are there are kind of like locked down. Like, you really can't do much on them anyways.
Yeah.
You know, at an Apple store, I can play with a computer. I can go to whatever. I could probably look at porn. You know what I mean? Like, you can do whatever you want at the store. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that Apple has really done well.
Yeah. More than anything, the more disconnected we become, the more valuable good customer service has become. Like, we like that. When you find that connection with a person, it, like, sells you.
Yeah, and that's just, like, last year, or was it 2 years ago, when we went to Vegas, you weren't with us. We went out, and we went to a club, and for some odd reason, a laser went into the lens of my iPhone.
Really?
And messed it up. And every time I took a picture, there'd be, like, these purple spots. And my iPhone was still under, like, the Apple... I don't know, it wasn't even... It was just still under its regular warranty. Like, it wasn't even Apple Care or anything.
Yeah.
I came back, went to the app, set up an appointment. You can do it online. You can do it through an app. Set up an appointment, went in there. I showed her what was going on. She goes, "This is something normal. What are you doing today?" And I said, "Nothing, really." You know, she's like, "Do you have about a half an hour?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll go eat and I'll come back." And they said, "Okay, we'll take your phone. We'll switch out the camera for you and you'll be done." And went, got some sushi, came back. They're ready with my phone. Didn't cost me a thing. In and out. Didn't have to sign anything. Didn't have to do anything. There's nothing.
They didn't register you as, like, having done that or anything?
They just, like, looked up my Apple information.
Yeah.
And they did it. It was great. It was just, like, the most seamless customer service, super nice, didn't try to sell me anything on top of that. Didn't be like, "Oh, do you want Apple Care? Oh, do you want that?" No, just did it, and I was done. And I think that's what keeps people in the Apple ecosystem. And I think that, you know, people are in there, and every time I've ever been in an Apple store, there's always people in there trying to figure out things or how to do things with their app or how to do things with their, you know, their computer, and they help people. And people come in and be like, "I don't know how to do this," and they just do it for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a cost. To do it. It's not a cost to go in there and be like, "How do you do that?"
I don't think those people are on, like, commission or anything, right?
They might be, but at the same time,
they don't act like it.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that. I just really think that Apple has great customer service. They're going to help you solve the problem. They're not going to try to upsell you on anything. If they do, it's like they sell you a case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever. And if the thing is, if you say no, they're not continually, like, trying
Are
to sell
you sure?
You. Yeah, it's, you know, every time I've ever bought anything in an Apple store, which has only been phones, just great service. You know, when I bought my 5S, I wanted I forget which one I got, but they were hard to find at the time. I finally got it, and I just ordered it through the app, went in there, picked it up, extremely easy, just went in there, told them my name. They had me in the system already as picking one up that day. paid, not even at a register. They just do it. They have, like, iPhones that have the...
yeah, a little swipe thing.
Swipe thing. Swipe my credit card. Printed a receipt right there. Put it in a bag. I was done.
Nice.
Like, it's so seamless and easy. That's one thing that I know we don't want to keep on talking about this, but I think with any Apple product, you're going to get great customer service, and you can always go back to the store.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just, yeah, somewhere to belong, you know.
Yeah, but back to the original story is that, you know, 13 million phones in 3 days is just crazy.
Yeah.
It was going to be interesting to see, the sales for, say, by the end of the year, what they will be. And they're not even in all countries yet. October 9th, they're adding 40 additional countries, and by the end of the year, the 6S and 6S Plus will be in 130 countries. So it's great to see. It's just great to see that. I think it's great to see smartphones come into the hands of people who typically wouldn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are yet to have smartphones.
really?
Which I think is a good thing, because I would get like text every 5 minutes.
Oh yeah. How do you do this?
Yeah, but a lot of parents I do see have smartphones. A lot of my iPhones. You know, my niece who's 8 has a smartphone.
Yeah, the kids gotta have them.
Yeah, so yeah, it's very cool to see. Good thing for Apple. Of course, it's expected, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll move on from Apple. I know we talked about it a lot. I don't know why, to be honest.
Yeah.
We'll move on to some gaming.
Bob just professes his undying love for Apple.
No, I just like good customer service and people who don't try to sell you on things you don't need. And I think that's something that the company does very well. But we'll move on from that to gaming. Yes, it is that time of the year where a lot of games come out. Fallout 4 is coming out in November, I believe, and they just released the Fallout Anthology, which is a collector's edition that includes Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics, Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition, and Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition. And it comes in this really cool, it looks like a nuke. Which I was thinking, I was like, how does this thing get through customs? Like when they're sending this thing over, it looks
like Fatboy.
It looks like a package of nukes, but it comes in this really cool looking thing that looks like a little nuke that holds all the games, and they actually give you a space in there for Fallout 4 when it comes out. If you buy this, you don't get Fallout 4.
I was wondering about that.
But it is very cool. If you're a fan of the Fallout series, this is one of the coolest collector's editions of any game I've seen come out in a while.
Yeah, that's quite unique, and it's a really cool looking piece.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Just awesome. Great to see this. Great to see companies do this. Fallout has had some really cool things. Fallout 4, they have the edition that comes with the little the Pip-Boy thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool to see that. You don't see that anymore with games, especially with digital distribution. You don't see a lot of cool things like that.
No. I think it's the only things that they ever do are things like this that are incredibly value-driven for the hardcore fan.
And there is
I know people that will buy this.
There is a massive fan base for Fallout. I never got into it, but I know there's a ton of people. I think it's going to be – it's one of the most anticipated games of the fall holiday season.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It will be – that'll sell a lot.
Yeah, so it's just great to see this come out. I believe it's $129. I believe so.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a good value, and I think that a lot of these, you know – you're getting, what, 5 games? 1, 2, 3, 4. You're getting 5 games plus this really cool thing, you know. Yeah.
And you can store your 6th game in there and have a cool little dust piece.
Yep. So definitely a cool thing. And then we have, we seem to, you know. we talked about this last week. Did we?
Well, originally a long time ago, but I think we brought it back up last week.
So, Batman Arkham Knight was a horrible PC launch. We're not going to get into it just because the game was more or less ported. Graphic support was horrible.
Didn't work.
Didn't really work. Tons of issues, tons of problems with the game. No surprise, to be honest. And it got pulled from Steam. If you returned it, you could return it. Steam had that new – that was like one of the first It was just after Valve announced the returns on Steam.
They were probably like, oh, crap.
Yeah, so a lot of people returned it, and then it was pulled. But if you still had it, you could still play it. You know, and they have been releasing patches, you know, a couple, you know, maybe once a month or something. But they've been releasing patches, certain fixing things. But now it has just been announced that they will be back on Steam for all of you PC fans. Gotcha. It will be back in at the end of October, and it'll be available to purchase on Steam. So at the end of this month, if you were a fan of the game, you know, and you weren't really satisfied, you returned it, and then you couldn't get it anymore, now you'll be able to get it again. Yeah. Hopefully, by that time, it's going to be better, and they wouldn't have these issues. It would be such a horrible thing if it got re-released, and then there was all these other issues. Gosh.
They'd like never make one again.
They would just not make it for PC. And I think this is a problem that we talked about it originally when this happened. Is that these games are made for
console,
and then they're just ported to PC, and it's just horrible. They don't think about it in there. You know, what happened with this game was that the PC development was not even the same studio that actually made the game.
Yeah, they actually paid somebody else to port it.
Yeah. That's why, like, I think, like, Grand Theft Auto, they did the right thing. They released the version for console, and then it took them, a year or something to release the PC version because they wanted it to be good, you know?
We would rather see that. Yeah. We don't want their crap.
I would rather wait for a game that works well and I don't have issues with and is made for PC. Not only made for graphics to support and all that, but playing-wise. I hate playing games that are made for a controller for PC.
Yeah, like the little action things or...
90% of the games that I play, I want to play with my keyboard. Keyboard and my mouse. 90% of the games I play on PC. There are a few, like, arcade games that I can play with a controller. But as me, as a true PC gamer and as an original, I started playing games. I mean, well, I did play on consoles, but, you know, growing up, I was playing PC games, and I wanted a keyboard and a mouse. And, you know, a lot of these ports aren't made to really support that traditionally, like the way it should be. It was just a bad thing that happened with this. You know, and so hopefully they fixed everything. I still don't think it's going to play like a true PC game. No. But, you know.
I don't know. There's no way I'm buying it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll buy it either. I think they're going to have a lot hard time getting people to buy it.
Yeah, it's just not going to sell. And then you know what they'll do? They'll say, well, we put all this money into fixing it, and then no PC guys bought it, so we're just not going to do PC anymore.
Yeah.
So, well, you gave us crap in the first place. We're not going to support you after that.
Yeah, I think that, again, this is a AAA title. I think if you're making a AAA title that's coming out on multiple platforms...
Yeah, it should work on multiple platforms.
You should have a team for each platform. And even cross-platform between PS4 and Xbox One, you should have a PS4 team.
I'm sure they do.
You should have an Xbox One team, and you should have a PC team.
I'm sure they did, not the PC thing.
That'd be interesting to see, too, you know, with Star Wars coming out, which we were talking about. You know, for Star Wars, getting that, you know, what's it called? Getting it to work on PS4, getting it to work on Xbox One and getting it to work on PC all together and working the same way will be an interesting thing, I think. You know,
but I think that they're like two steps ahead to begin with. I mean, it's on a platform that's already on those systems, you know?
Yeah, but
it's based on, you know, the Battlefield 4.
Yeah, but I just think that, you know, if you're releasing something like that, you know,
but they're putting a lot of time into something that's essentially, you know, skinned.
Yeah, so but I think that
they're probably doing it right.
Yeah, they're doing it right, and that's the thing that I'm talking about. It's just like, you know, these games that come out that are on all platforms, they should perform the best they can on that platform, not perform best on Xbox, and then play crappy on PS4 and then play crappy on PC or vice versa. You know,
it should play to the max of its ability on each system. You should be maxing the system out that you're using it on. Yeah. Not just, well, this is good enough. 30 frames is good enough. I hate that when they just decide that there's a certain frame rate target that's good enough and the game especially, just doesn't run over that.
That makes no sense on PC.
No.
That makes sense. Like, when this was one thing with Batman, it was locked at 30 frames a second.
Yeah.
On PC, which makes no sense because that makes sense on console because you're locked into what the console has as far as...
Well, yeah, they don't want it to stutter and slow down.
You're locked into what the console can provide. With PC, you have people that have multiple graphics cards. You have people that have the highest-end graphics cards, tons of memory, you know, and that's...
Yeah, people don't pay $4,000 on a PC to play at 30 frames a second.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not the
end of story.
So it'd be good to see it come out. We'll see if it sells or not. Obviously, we'll have those numbers when you know the game does get released. It's good to see it come back out at least for those who are waiting for it.
You know, could almost hype it and relaunch it as a new title. It's been that long,
and it is holiday season, so you know
it'll be on. I bet it's on sale like right away.
Yeah, probably. So we will see when all that happens, but that is it for the news. Not a whole lot of news this week, but definitely some good stuff.
We had some gems in there, though.
Yes, some good stuff. Some good stuff we had good conversations about.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to what we have upcoming next week. We have three good products. One, we have an X99 motherboard.
That's been a little while.
From Gigabyte, yeah. X99 is still pretty big. This is a great board from Gigabyte. It's their X99 SLI. It is made to get you into the X99 platform, very low cost, doesn't have hardly any of the extra features that a lot of the other, even like, this is almost the same board as the Gigabyte X99 UD4, or UD4H, I forget which, I think it's UD4H, which we also reviewed, but this has a lot less features as far as, like, doesn't have the lights, doesn't have certain things, it's just a no-frills X99 board, gotcha. So if you're looking to save money, still a great board, just not all the crazy features that a lot of people don't need that are on a lot of X99 boards. So I'll be testing that this weekend. Hopefully I will get the review out next week. I've been behind on a couple of reviews, which you talked about before we got on this podcast.
Yeah.
So just like this next product, which is the Fantech Nexstar 3.1, which is a 2.5-inch USB 3.1 hard drive enclosure. I wanted to get that done this past week. It will be done next week for sure. I promise you guys that. So it'd be cool to see USB 3.1 speeds. Obviously, we'll be testing that on Z170.
Cool.
We have that. And we have some new headphones. So nice. A company called AudioFly actually sent us three sets of earbuds, their entire line, really, of high-performance earbuds. So we're taking a look. We're doing it the top-down. So we're going highest, their highest-grade ones first, which is their AF78s.
They look nice.
Yeah, they look really nice. They're quite expensive. I think they're around $200.
Yeah, that's a bit above my my earbud budget.
Yeah, so what's interesting is that I've reviewed earbuds over the years, and you know, I had never thought that earbuds that cost a lot would sound any different.
Yeah. Right?
They really do. I haven't, I haven't opened these yet. I'll be doing the unboxing probably today. But I haven't opened these yet, but usually, you know, there's a huge difference.
Yep. I've got some really nice ones, just not that expensive.
Yeah. So,
I usually get them when they're well on sale.
And the one thing about a lot of these ones that are very expensive, they're made to last a while. I have a pair of V-Moda, ones. I think they were $239 when they came out. I got them to review.
Yeah.
Still use them.
Nice.
They're my daily, like if I take my laptop with me, that's what I use. And still work perfectly. The cables have not frayed or, you know, because a lot of times, especially with the ones that have just the rubber cabling, it rips. If you think about the iPhone connection cables, they all rip and tear after a couple months. You know, stuff like this is made to last because you are, you know, spending that money on them. And everything like that. So I'm really excited to see how well these work, how well they sound, how well they feel, durability, and everything like that. So, yeah. So that is what we have coming next week. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm trying to think. Did you do anything cool this week?
Let's see. Oh, man, I thought I had something. Played some video games.
What would you play?
Just Battlefield 4.
So you're really going to be into Star Wars when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll be all over that. I did get something cool in this week. Do we want to talk about that?
Sure. You can. Do you want me to talk about it?
A little bit?
Yeah, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to talk about it?
I can talk. Well, I don't care.
I'll preface it.
Okay.
So we have been wanting to do a water cooling article series for a while, just to show everybody how, not how easy, because water cooling isn't necessarily easy, but just a how-to article on how to get started in water cooling. How
you want to make it as easy for you as possible.
Yeah, how to put the system, you know, pick out your parts, what you'll need for certain components, how to put it together, how to do everything really in a simple, easy to read thing, because a lot of times you see these water cooling builds and you're just like, okay, how do I even get started?
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it really easy. So we had been, over the past couple of months, we have been searching for companies to work with us. We secured everything for our build. Nice. And you just got all of the water cooling parts in this week, right?
Correct. So amazingly, we had somebody like fully support us on this. Do we want to talk about who the parts are from?
Yes, go ahead.
So we've got a bunch of Alpha Cool and a bunch of Phobia parts, and I believe it was Aqua Computer was available to us as well. We didn't end up getting anything from them, but so we have pretty much all the highest end parts from Phobia and Alpha Cool, which are two of the best brands you can buy on the market, and we have a full setup. So we're going to be having full walkthroughs on how to do just about everything that you would ever want to do in water cooling. So now you don't have to. I mean, I remember when I started water cooling, and it was like, well, what do I even buy? Where do I start? What am I going to do wrong? I don't want to screw this up. You know, it's kind of a scary thing because it seems like you might like destroy your PC on accident or something. You know. So we will be going through every single aspect of water cooling, showing you how to do every single part of installation, and we've got some really good parts for that.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty excited, and I think this will be like, what, at least 5 articles, if not more.
I believe. Let me look at mine.
Because we're going to do a basic loop and then add to it, right? That's your plan.
Yep, that's the idea. We'll do some introduction. I want to do like picking your parts article.
Yeah.
And then get into actually installing and using it.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty excited. And we have, you know, we have support through those companies, and then we're getting a case from Fantex as well. So, you know, that is one of the best cases to build a water cooling system in. It's kind of made for that.
For sure.
So we have their support. Obviously we appreciate it from those companies, and we just want to bring something out that can just show you how to do water cooling. It can kind of demystify it a little bit for first-time builders, and you know, just something that you guys can, you know, come back to every time you're doing a build, or maybe tell a friend about, and we'll have the whole series will be up on the site. You know, I guess the whole thing could be done by the end of the year,
possibly.
You know, but this is something that we're going to take our time on. We want to do really well. We're not going to rush it out there, but we have just started getting parts in, so it's something you're going to see over the next couple months for sure. But yeah.
How about you? Did you do anything cool, Bob?
Well, I went to a motorcycle stunt show.
Really?
Like street bike stunt show. My one of our good friends at Think Computers, he's actually part of it. He used to work for AVA Direct, and now he does this motorcycle bike thing. And it was really cool. The show is actually to promote awareness about drug use and why it's not good, obviously. It was really cool to see what these guys
did. Did you learn anything, Bob?
The drugs are bad. But no, I mean, no, it's just a great cause, and it's really cool to see what these guys can do on these street bikes. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. It's called Ride for Life. If you go to ride4life.bike, you can find out all about it. You know, it's just really cool. It's something cool to see. I went there last Sunday. It was great. You know, and they do these shows all over, sort of like this area, here, Ohio, like, you know, around that type of, you know. So if you're in the area, definitely just go to rideforlife.bike, and you can kind of check it out. You can check out what they're about, and you can see if there's an upcoming show. Shows are free. Didn't have to pay anything.
Nice. It was cool.
Yeah, it was real cool. You could see that they do a bunch of different. They do like, so they were there all day, and they did like three different times. They did a bunch of tricks and stuff, and really cool things. And they talked to everybody. You know, you can go up and you can check out the motorcycles. You can sit on them. You know, it was really cool, especially for kids to see that kind of stuff. Again, it's all free. You know, so it's nice. Really cool to see.
Good cause. Drugs are bad.
Yes, drugs are not a good thing. And the main reason behind it is that the main guy, he was on drugs and he got out of doing all that, and he just wants to let people know how bad it is. He obviously went through some rough times. So yeah, definitely check it out. We will have the link on our show notes there as well. Another thing I wanted to talk about is I have been live streaming on Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing some games.
Check out Bob getting marked.
Yeah, so I've been playing Payday 2, Grand Theft Auto. I want to get some more games. If you guys have any suggestions of games that we're going to be playing, obviously next week we will be playing Star Wars. So definitely stay tuned for that. Twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Add us as a favorite so you just get a notification every time we do stream. I've been trying to stream a few hours each day, just a little bit, just to play some games. I would love people to come in and play with us. You know, I guess we should, maybe I should set up a Twitch page on the site. So you can go there, you can get all of our IDs for Steam and other services, Origin IDs and all that stuff, so you can play with us whenever we're on. I was playing, what's it called, too? I was playing Unreal Tournament, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is it for the podcast.
Lots of gaming. I think a lot of exciting things coming. I'm getting pretty hyped on the tech thing right now. I've been outside all summer racing my bike, and now I'm ready to play with electronics.
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels for me. It's like, okay, summer's over. Time to get back into the swing of...
Time to be a nerd again.
Yeah, it's. I like that. I like that we have that where we live. Yeah. We're able to do that. And again, there's a ton of products coming out. We'll be looking at a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool releases. We're doing a lot of launch articles like we did this past week. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. And then again, as it gets close to the end of the year, we will be doing our end-of-year articles. I know you're doing best AIOs of 2015. I'll probably be doing cases and maybe some other stuff. Buyer's guides, all kind of stuff we'll have coming out towards the end of the year. But that is basically it. As always, we have a show notes page that links all of the articles and everything that we talked about, as well as everything else we talked about. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just type in Think Computers, all one word. Same thing on Android. You can do all that. We also have an RSS feed just for the podcast, so you can just go ahead and subscribe to that and your favorite RSS reader. We should be putting these on YouTube. I don't know why I haven't yet. I need to do that. That's on the list of things to do. I definitely want to put that stuff on YouTube. Also with YouTube, I'm considering doing some vlogs, just like maybe showing you some of the stuff that we have in to review. Maybe, office, maybe you can do one of your little photo studio you have there, Derek.
Yeah, yeah.
Different stuff we want to put out there on the YouTube, so it's not just all unboxings and more serious stuff. A lot of, maybe we want to do some just, having fun and that type of stuff.
Get some CES videos up there.
We have CES videos up there.
I mean, not the serious ones.
Yeah, so we're gonna try to put some fun stuff on this, on the YouTube as well. YouTube.com/thinkcomputers. Definitely check that out. But until next week, we'll catch everybody later. And again, we always appreciate you guys listening to our podcast and checking out the site.